Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
Welcome, everybody, to On the Double with the Double S Express on this Martin Luther King holiday. Sean Wally in Indianapolis, Sean Boyd out there in the 916, the West Coast, Sacramento area. Sean, what's going on?
What's going on, man? Every time I hear that speech, for anybody for that matter, for anybody who hears that speech, it has to bring chills up and down your spine. The content of the speech, the reason why we're doing what we do, Sean Wally, a great tribute on a special day, Martin Luther King Day. And man, it's nostalgic, man. I am overwhelmed with emotion every time I hear it. And so it's great. It's great to be here on the show with you. It's great doing the things that we love. And so, we're here on the double once again, man. How are you?
And what does it mean to have a dream on this day?
You know, it means that whatever you aspire to do in life, do it. Whatever your goal is, whatever your vision is, don't let anyone or anything deter you from hitting the mark. For me, it's a special day, man. It's a special day to reflect on Dr. Martin Luther King, and it's a special day for the opportunities that are given each and every day. But the opportunity given to me is a special one today, Sean Wally, and I'm not going to forget this one moving forward.
So it's safe to say that I can welcome you to the family.
Yes, and so as we are on the airwaves and speaking to the thousands and thousands of people who listen to On the Double with the Double S Express, I'm so happy and honored to be welcomed into the Globetrotter family. It is it's a great day, man. It's a great day. You know, very hard earned, and you know the routine as far as what it took for you to get there. And man, this is one big step into the direction on, you know, fulfilling our dreams, man. And this is it. This is it. So, you know, I'm very honored to be a part of such a historic organization, 90 years and running. And so, man, let's make it another 90 more.
So are you going to be the new mascot, or what is your role with the red, white, and blue donned Globetrotters?
Well, man, I'm going to be PA announcing for the Harlem Globetrotters, and so I am so excited about this great opportunity and getting the chance to you know, to be, again, a part of such a historic and great organization. You know, there's nothing like the challenge. There's nothing like the challenge of, you know, accepting what's in front of you and saying, no matter what, let's see what this is about. You know, for those of our listeners who don't know, there's a video that's been going around on Facebook of Steve Harvey and his talks that he has after his show on the Family Feud. And one of the talks that he had was so profound as far as, you know, your dream and your goal and to never lose sight of it. And I believe, Sean, that you sent that one to me as well, if I'm correct. And when I watched that video and I watched what Steve Harvey was saying, and he talked about, you know, just, you know, basically walking on faith, man. You know, either you can be comfortable in what you do and clocking in to your 9 to 5, or you can just jump. And that's what he was talking about, jumping without a safety net. And, you know, I can tell you that it is the scariest feeling to jump without a safety net, man. And, you know, even though you feel and it looks like you're about to hit the ground, that chute opens up and, you know, you've succeeded. But the only way that you'll ever know about that chute opening up is if you make that first leap. And, man, I did it today and it feels wonderful, Sean. It feels awesome, man. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to some great things to come.
Well, man, it's super exciting to have you join myself, Jared Lewis, and of course the entire Harlem Globetrotter family, and, you know, talking about that leap and having that faith, jumping. Jared and I did that in 2014, and here we are today, still going strong with the Harlem Globetrotters, and been able to travel the world, see many cities, states, countries that otherwise we wouldn't get to. And as you said, 90 years strong, and it's a great run. It's a fun run. Yes, there are sacrifices and things you have to, you know, learn how to survive on the road with and get used to life on the road. But a lot of people do it. A lot of people have done it for many years. And at the very least, you'll give it a shot and see what happens.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing that I learned today was, you know, the fact that there are a lot of people with families on the tour and on the show. And so, you know, that was one of my biggest concerns was, you know, man, how to cope with that, you know, how to actually, you know, make communications even stronger, you know, with my wife and with my family. And, you know, there's a big support group that's just, man, that were coaching me up all day, man. And, you know, that's what I appreciate. I appreciated the hugs, the fist bumps, the, you know, the welcoming to the family and saying, hey, man, you're not doing this alone. We're in this together. And so that's, you know, that's a great feeling for me, you know, knowing that there is such a great group in the Harlem Globetrotters. And, you know, just the positivity that the Globetrotters bring. Everybody knows the Harlem Globetrotters as being a fun and entertaining show. But more importantly, what they do, man, and you know, helping out, you know, with such a great organization as World Vision, you know, and of course, you know, what they put, the product they put onto the basketball court, man, this is going to be a lot of fun. Hard work, but a lot of fun.
What a whirlwind 36 hours it's been for you. You know, Sunday, you and the family get to go to Sleep Train Arena in Sacramento and see the Harlem Globetrotters and have a great time. And of course, Showman Big Easy was there with his 1A guy, Scooter, doing great things, and the rest of the Globetrotter crew. And lo and behold, you have a chance to meet the right people and get invited for a tryout this morning, and the rest is history.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? You know, that, you know, just how things kind of fall into place. You know, a few days ago, life was, it was one way, and, you know, gosh, before I, you know, make it sound like life was rough, it's not. You know, I mean, where else are you going to get the chance to work for the television networks like you and I do? And then, of course, you know, having, you know, being able to, you know, to do other things in media. But, man, this is a big, big step, man. And, you know, I can't say thank you enough to, you know, everybody that has, you know, paved the way to help me become the person that I am today. And, you know, there's nothing but a tremendous upside. I believe that huge doors are going to open, and I'm claiming that. And so, you know, this is a great day, Sean, a great day.
You know, one person who is smiling the biggest smile is your father up in heaven, and it was just his birthday. So what a fabulous birthday gift you have given your dad.
Man, yeah. You know, there's no bigger Harlem Globetrotter fan than my father, and I was explaining that to the top brass today. And, you know, I just told him, I said, man, he's looking down, and he's happy. You know, and you know, I remember the times of going to see the Harlem Globetrotters when I was little, and this is up in Tacoma, Washington, and we'd go to UPS Fieldhouse to watch the Harlem Globetrotters. And, you know, that was back with Menelark Lemon and Geese Osby and Curly Neal and you know, just the, you know, the whole crew, man. And it was it was fun then, and it's even more fun now. I didn't think as an adult that I would have so much fun, man, but I can tell you, Sean, watching my little girl have the greatest time in her life yesterday was just amazing, man. And, you know, I didn't think that she would be, you know, watching or paying attention enough to know what was going on. But, man, she had a blast. And that's what it's all about. It's about family. It's about fun. And, you know, all of those things were wrapped in, and it's, you know, it's just been an awesome weekend, and I'm looking forward to kicking things off here in the near future with the Harlem Globetrotters.
And think of those names you just mentioned, the greats like Curly Neal, Meadowlark Lemon, Geese Osby, a guy we were able to meet a few weeks ago when we went through his hometown, guys that have paved the way, guys that everybody knows their name, you know, just like Sean Wally and Jared Lewis. And you're a part of that now.
Yeah. Hey, man, we can't leave out Lou Dunbar, too, man. I mean, sweet Lou, man. he was one of the ones back in the day as well. So, you know, and of course, he is the coach now of the Harlem Globetrotters. And, you know, yeah, I'm a part of history, man. This is awesome. This is cool. And to see how everybody is, you know, loves what they do, and to put such a great product on, you know, once the green light goes on, the show goes on, and it's fantastic. It was such a fantastic feeling, you know, knowing that, you know, once I made it over and getting a chance to watch the show, boy, it just felt awesome today.
I guarantee you are never going to laugh like you will laugh as much and as hard around sweet Lou Dunbar. That man may be the funniest man on earth.
yeah, you know, he is so funny and agile. You know, he can still move. So he put a couple of moves on today as the dance moves. And, you know, he loves what he does. And that's, you know, Sean, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because it was Sweet Lou that I was watching all game, and I thought, man, this is a person that not only is a part of the organization, he pretty much, you know, has been a part of it for the majority of his life, and nothing's changed, man. He still has the same energy. He still has the great fervor and excitement, and he's happy. And that's, you know, that's a huge, huge component. And so, you know, this is almost like a Disneyland feeling, you know, that the amount of happiness that you have. And so, man, I'm happy. I'm happy to be a part of this.
Well, tomorrow when you're around Sweet Lou, just in passing, walking by him, or if he's walking by you and you're at the table, just drop my name and see what kind of reaction you get. He's quite the character for sure.
Well, I'll be sure to do that, man. And you know, again, I'm looking forward to, you know, getting the chance to learn the tricks of the trade and hopefully get up to speed where you're at some point in time in the near future.
Well, since we're talking a little bit of basketball, what is the latest with the Kings of the Western Conference, the Golden State Warriors?
Well, man, the Warriors right now are just, they're putting a beating on the Cleveland Cavaliers. This was a game that was supposed to be, you know, a bounce-back match for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Golden State Warriors beat Cleveland early in the year, and that was a Christmas Day game. And now this game here was supposed to be LeBron James and company's revenge. Right now, Golden State Warriors are putting a beat down on the Cleveland Cavaliers. 121-84 with about 5.5 minutes left, and it was never even close. You know, and so Golden State is, to be honest with you, Sean, has lost two of their last three, putting themselves at 37-4 on the year. So, I mean, you know, the earth almost stopped with their fourth loss. Now they're the soon to be 38-4. And of course, the Spurs right behind, well, they'll be two games behind at 36-6. So, you know, the Warriors are doing their thing, but the Spurs are close behind.
So have those two teams played yet this season?
The Spurs and the Warriors look to play each other at the end of the week. And so this is going to be, you know, the biggest match or the biggest game of the year, you know, for both teams. And, you know, dare I say, put a little separation between the two. But, you know, this is going to be one of those games where Popovich, you know, you never know what he'll do. He could, you know, go all out 100% or he could sit three players, so it just depends. But it should be a great game nonetheless. You know, Golden State's just going to keep doing what they do, and that's, you know, trying to get win after win.
And mentioning the Golden State Warriors, I know you saw the other day on social media and a little bit on ESPN that the Harlem Globetrotters paid a visit to one Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors before one of their games the other night.
You know, it was great to see the Harlem Globetrotters come and pay respect to the Golden State Warriors, man. And, you know, the Globetrotters were in their uniforms, you know, in pregame, and Steph Curry was going through his dribbling prowess. And, you know, the interesting thing is we always talk about the Harlem Globetrotters as being just a gimmick and trick show, which basically, you know, that's what it is. It's fun. It's fun for the family. But to watch it, Sean, maybe you can help me out with this. The person who was dribbling behind Steph Curry, who was that?
That was the man. He is Scooter.
That was Scooter. So I got a chance to talk with Scooter today and yesterday. And man, this brother can dribble. He has tremendous, he has tremendous handles. And he was doing everything that Steph was doing and then some, you know, and it just goes to show you how excellent of players the Harlem Globetrotters are. You know, I can't say that they can actually, who knows, you know, if they can. Man, the Harlem Globetrotters are the world's greatest, you know, basketball team. So what am I saying, man? I mean, of course they can do what Steph Curry was doing, but it was good to see the Globetrotters out there paying respects to the Warriors.
Well, you're going to see Scooter a lot in the next week, and you see him tomorrow. Tell him Sean Wally got his iPad. He'll laugh at that for sure.
Man, you know, he is one of the greatest co-showmen. Because Big Easy, man, that guy, he takes it all around. But, you know, Scooter, man, he is something. To watch what he does and to capture the audience and the crowd, you know, I love what he does on the basketball court. And so for those of our listeners who haven't gone out, man, go online to HarlemGlobetrotters.com and see what, you know, when the Globetrotters are coming to your town, because it is a lot of fun, a lot of fun.
And tomorrow, I believe you will be not too far from Sacramento, and you'll get a chance to possibly see some extended family in, is it Modesto? No, that's too far south.
Yeah, it is Modesto.
Okay.
We'll be in Modesto And my brother-in-law is excited about seeing the Harlem Globetrotters, and he's going to bring, you know, his family with him, and so it's going to be fun.
And exciting adventure you are about to embark on. It's great to have you a part of the family. And as you said, taking that leap, taking that jump, taking that first step up the staircase, going on faith as the stairs get built on this great day, Martin Luther King Day, the holiday. So, Sean, man, so much on in your life. Of course, I'm out here on tour as well in Indianapolis. Frigid, let me tell you. 3 degrees with a wind chill of negative 15. It is dry for the moment. They expect snow starting on Wednesday, so it could get a little dicey later in the week. And we'll be moving north up into Michigan, so we know the weather's only going to probably get colder and a little more treacherous.
Yeah, it looked like a great crowd that was out today, you know, for your show. And so, you know, how was that today?
Man, it was awesome to get a chance to play at the home of the Indiana Pacers. And, of course, the NBA arenas, as you know, being at Sleep Train in the last 2 days, I mean, they are top-notch. You know, there's a big difference from a small college or even a high school, which I think both of us get to experience tomorrow night, to going into a first-rate, five-star venue where everything is laid out, the audio is fabulous, top-notch. And, you know, to know and think about all of the great athletes and coaches and not even just that, but entertainers that have come through that arena and possibly sat in that same chair or used that same dressing room. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, we had a great crowd. People were actually up into the second level, which was great to see. And, you know, they did what they're supposed to do. Boo the heck out of me. So, but man, yeah, it's frigid cold here. So we're all staying inside and trying to stay warm as this, ridiculously, like I said, 3 degrees right now. I mean, really? That's insane. But lots of action this weekend. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we return here on the double, we will have big time guest number one tonight, and that is Bob Stelton of 710 ESPN Seattle, of the Bob, Tom, and Graz show. So keep it locked. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express here on BBS Radio.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pains went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Who
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally here. Sean Boyd will join us shortly. Let's head out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Bob Stelton of 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. Bob, were you there?
Yeah.
Awesome. We had a nice half of football, if you're talking Seattle Seahawks, second half yesterday. What in the world do you make of that debacle in Carolina?
You know what? I've been asked that question a lot. I've tried to explain it during our show today, and I really don't have an explanation, nor does Pete Carroll or anybody on that team. He just talked about the first half being complete chaos. It just, the wheels came off rapidly. I don't know. I mean, to me, there's no real true explanation for what we saw in that first half. The second half looked like the team that we've been watching over the past couple of months, with the Rams game being the exception. It's a team that offensively was explosive, defensively they were smothering, and that's what they were in the second half of that game. They held Carolina scoreless. They put up 24 points. They made a game of it. Unfortunately, the hole they dug was just so deep, and that was just an absurd half. I really wish I had an explanation, but there's not one element you could point to and say, well, you know, you saw them starting to turn the corner there. They started doing that well. They didn't do anything well in the first half. It was the worst half of football they played all year.
You know, if it's that frustrating and immensely maddening for the 12s, the Seahawks fans, and the 12th man, how much more so is it that frustrating for the coaches and the players today?
I would say that, you know, listen, the coaches and players have to be more frustrated than anybody because they're very aware of what they're capable of. They know what had been working and how they've been playing over the past few months. And, you know, this is a team that got off to a terrible start this year. They were 2-4. They were 4-5. They were not a good team. They were a team that was struggling just to get to 500, and then they just turned things around and look like the team everybody expected them to be, and even a little bit better offensively. And that's after they lost a couple of their superstars in Jimmy Graham. They lost Marshawn Lynch. And they found a way to be not just good, not just decent, but better offensively than they've ever been under Pete Carroll. And they were doing it without two massive weapons. So I think this team went into the postseason with a sense of momentum, with a sense of, hey, we have found it. Things are clicking. The offensive line was playing better, and they were an absolute dumpster fire in the first half of the season, so they were playing well. So it just felt like they were hitting their stride at the right time. Every team in the league was talking about, or every analyst in the league talking about, this is the team that nobody wants to face, is a team with experience, a team that's been there, and more importantly, that team has now found whatever was missing. And, you know, for them to play the way they did in that first half and then basically just run out of time in the second half, I think they're probably kicking themselves because I think they feel like they easily could have beat the Carolina Panthers had they figured something out in the first half, had they limited the damage on any level, but they didn't. They just went out there and just got their butts kicked through that first half, and it cost them.
And that's a big part of the frustration is, had they played for four quarters, I don't know too many people that doubt Seattle would have won that game.
Had they played for three quarters, they would have won that game. If they could have figured out a way after the first quarter to sort of stem the tide, if you will, if they could have just stopped the bleeding a little bit, if they could have, you know, if they could have gone into the half down, 21-7, 21-3, something, just you know, limit the damage. But to be down 31-0 on the opponent's home field at the end of the first half, that's just, you know, ESPN sent out a stat and said in the last 15 years, any team that has trailed by 31 or more in all of those games, they were 0-325. And now they are 0-326. So that tells you how likely it is you're going to be able to come back from that deficit, you know. And they made it interesting, but at the same time, it just made it even more frustrating knowing that they could play as well as they did in the second half and did zero, zilch, nothing in the first half.
I think we've reconnected with Sean Boyd. Sean, you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go for it.
Hey, Bob, thanks for being on the double, man. And of course, you're talking about the, you know, the tough loss in Carolina. You know, I do hear what you're saying, you know, as far as the Seahawks having a strong second half. How much do you credit to the Carolina Panthers, though, just putting it on cruise control and protecting a lead?
I think that was a very big part of it. I think they got conservative. I think they felt like, you know, hey, we're not going to turn the ball over and allow them quick scores to get back into this game. We're not going to, you know, make mistakes. And they played very conservative. And Cam Newton said as much after the game. He said, hey, everybody's backside was getting tight. The fans, the players, he said, even mine. He talked about everybody getting a little too uptight, and they, rather than going for it and putting their foot on the gas, they became a bit conservative. And, you know, that allowed the Seahawks to get back into the game as much as the Seahawks just sort of figuring it out and playing more like the way that they had in the past few months.
Now, Bob, of course, you know, with Marshawn Lynch going out with the injury, Dangerous actually found himself in that time that Marshawn was out. I think this is a telltale sign that this is Marshawn's last go-round with the Seahawks, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's – listen, the Seahawks have said nothing, so this isn't – there's nothing official. I don't have inside information, but you find basically a consensus. If you spoke to people around this team that cover this team, look at the salary cap, look at all the players that are coming up on free agency, some of which you look at as being big pieces of their future. Marshawn is not their future. He's their present. He's been fantastic for them, but, you know, everybody's been waiting for him to sort of fall off the cliff like running backs do. And he's got a very violent running style. This is the first year he really, really suffered an injury bug. He's had a chronic back issue throughout his career, but he's been able to play through it this year. Injuries caught up to him. He's on the books for $11.5 million next year against the salary cap, his salary of $9 million. That's just too much money for a guy who's going to be 30 years old who runs the way that he does. And this offense performed better when he wasn't there, frankly. And, you know, this is just a situation like any other team where you've got an aging running back. As great as they are, they will always lose a step. They will always start to break down a bit. So rather than take that salary cap hit, the consensus is that was the last game you're going to see Marshawn Lynch in the Seahawks uniform.
Now, Bob, barring a large pay cut, that is most likely going to be the case. And if Marshawn has played his last game in a Seattle uniform, is he the best running back to ever wear a Seahawks uniform?
Yeah, I think you'd have to say so. I mean, listen, Sean Alexander takes a lot of heat out here now, people talking about he was soft and all of that. But, he that's a guy that ran for 1,800 yards in a season. He was a phenomenal back when they had him. Kurt Warner was the other name that comes up. His career obviously was cut short by a knee injury. Many people think he may have been the best just in terms of overall talent, just didn't play long enough. So, I mean, if you're just talking about what they achieved, they won a Super Bowl with Marshawn, got back to a second Super Bowl with him. Yeah, I think Marshawn would probably go down as the best back in the history of this franchise.
Bob, your biggest surprise in the 2015 NFL season, Seattle Seahawks player-wise, would you lean towards Tyler Lockett? Would you go with Thomas Rawls or somebody else?
I mean, those are the two biggest right there. Thomas Rawls, I had no idea who he was. I had heard of Tyler Lockett, at least. I had watched Tyler Lockett in training camp, and he stood out immediately. Tyler Lockett is an absolute stud. He's got fantastic hands. He runs very precise routes. The wide receiver coach couldn't stop raving about him during training camp, saying this guy does not play like a rookie. He doesn't run routes like a rookie. He's a very polished player. And to see the impact that Tyler Lockett had, not only on special teams, but as a wide receiver. He had the surest hands on the team outside of Doug Baldwin, and he's a burner. So you just saw his ability to inflict damage on the opponent as a receiver, as a return guy. completely changed the special teams for the. I mean, think about the special teams for the Seahawks last year. It didn't matter who they had back there. All you wanted was them to catch the ball. Just don't turn it over. You didn't even think about improving field position. Just catch the ball, Brian Walters. Just catch the ball, Doug Baldwin, Earl Thomas. I mean, think about all the people that were back there fielding punts and kickoffs last year. You just didn't really have a guy that you could rely on after Golden Tate left, and all you wanted them to do was just hang on to it. Whereas Tyler Lockett, he was forcing teams to prepare for him. They were game planning how do you keep the ball away from him. And he was a huge, huge weapon, and I think a much bigger asset than most people thought he would be. And Thomas Rawls was brilliant. I mean, he comes out of nowhere. He's a guy that very few people knew anything about, and he was better than Marshawn Lynch by a long shot this year. He was electric. He was fast. Very sad to see the injury happen, but this is a guy that most people look at and say they've got their running back of the future.
Bob Stubbs of 710 Cairo joining us here on the double. Now, we're talking about receivers, Bob. What do you think the outcome will be with Jermaine Kearse? Is he going to return next year?
I know that he wants to, but, you know, again, it goes back to where are they going to spend their dollars? Because cap-wise, they've got a lot of money committed to Russell Wilson and to K.J. Wright and to Bobby and to Richard and to Earl, and Cam Chancellor got paid, and Michael Bennett and Cliff Avell. And there are a lot of guys that they've had to pay that are eating up a lot of that cap room. So Kearse is a free agent. Brandon Mebane is a free agent. J.R. Sweezy is a free agent. Russell Okung is a free agent. Jeremy Lane is a free agent. You've got a lot of guys that are sitting there right now. Bruce Irvin, that you look at and say, yeah, and Pete said as much today, yeah, we want to keep as many of these guys as we can. We want to keep this group together. We feel like we've got the right group here. But reality says you're not going to be able to keep everybody. You just don't have the money under the cap. So, you know, depending on the contract demands of Jermaine, I know they love him. I know they'd love to keep him. He might be a little too high priced when it's all said and done. They've got bigger priorities right now at other positions than they do at wide receiver, because you've got, as we just talked about, Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett are phenomenal for this team, were phenomenal this year. Paul Richardson should be coming back from injury, another burner. If he can stay healthy, that's another guy that I think they look at as a very, very big weapon. So it'll be interesting with Jermaine. I know they like him. I know he wants to stay, but ultimately his price tag could be a little bit much. We'll find out.
Now with Irvin, I know that Irvin hinted that he would take a pay cut. I believe he had mentioned that sometime today. With that being said, is Camp Chancellor, even though he's back, isn't he in a negotiating period again this offseason?
No, he's not. He's still got, I believe, 2 years left on his deal. He's a guy that you know, he wanted more money. He held out this year. He did not get more money. And the same is true for Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett was unhappy with his deal. He played 1 year of a four-year deal and was unhappy. So those are two things you need to keep an eye on as well. Listen, both those guys came back to the team, and Bennett never held out, by the way, but he was very vocal about his displeasure. Both of those guys came back ultimately at the same exact price that they had left at. Cam's the only one that held out, but, you know, they were both upset at what they're making. Neither got a raise. So I don't expect that they're going to be more pleased with the same amount of money a year later. And those are two instances to watch. I mean, I'll be very curious to see what Cam does. He, in my opinion, even though he's voted the Pro Bowl, I didn't think he had a great year. I thought, you know, he's a guy that dealt with some injury as well, but I didn't think it was his best year by a long shot. Bennett was a monster and played very well. But those are two guys that, again, unhappy coming into the season. No adjustments were made to their deals. I don't know that they're going to be happy when next season starts, and I would imagine if they want more money before this season, why wouldn't they want more money before next season? So we'll have to see what they do with both those guys.
Bob, you spent a good part of your professional career in St. Louis, and last week the St. Louis Rams are no longer packing up and moving back to Los Angeles. Your thoughts?
You know, I mean, you know out here in Seattle what it is to lose a team. You lose the Seattle Supersonics, it's devastating. And, you know, this is, I feel bad for St. Louis because I know there's the hardcore fan base. I know, you know, listen, they weren't out there in droves because the team has not been good for quite some time. Having said that, there's a very supportive element to that fan base, and I feel bad for that city, because the Rams had some great time. They won a Super Bowl out there. The greatest show on turf existed out there. So there's some good history to that franchise in St. Louis. And, you know, anytime you see a franchise up and leave a community. It blows. You don't want to see that, you know, and I understand it from a business sense. I get it. You're talking about Los Angeles, the number two market in the country. I get that the Rams were there before they got to St. Louis, but this is the second time this has happened to St. Louis. The Cardinals left there and went to Arizona. So you had the St. Louis Cardinals. They become the Arizona Cardinals. You had the L.A. Rams, then the Anaheim Rams, then became the St. Louis Rams. Now they're going back to L.A. So that's a city with two teams that have left, and I just feel bad for them. I know a lot of people that work for them. And I know a lot of the fans out there, so that now becomes, I mean, it was always a baseball town. Baseball is religion in St. Louis, but at the same time, there was a very healthy fan base for the Rams, and they're kind of left in the lurch, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. The Pacific Northwest knows exactly what losing a team is like with the Sonics leaving in 2008. Bob, is there any positive movement with an arena, either the Chris Hansen project in SoDo or the Tukwila Dream? It seems like everything is stuck in quicksand and nothing seems to be moving forward. Do you have any light to shed?
I wish I did, man. I really do. But I have not heard a peep on either one of those. And Tukwila, for me, listen, I'm not on the inside of any of these deals or what the NBA or the NHL thinks. But Tukwila for me never felt realistic. Maybe one day it will end up being, and I'll be wrong. I just don't think the NBA wants to be on the outskirts of Seattle. I think they want to be in downtown. I think they want to be where, you know, the Mariners and the Seahawks are playing. I just think they want to be more central. I don't know how much appeal there is to Tukwila for some of these the leagues in the NHL and the NBA. But in terms of hearing any progress on either deal, I've heard nothing. And the NBA is not coming here until there's a building built. They've made that clear. There needs to be a plan in place, the green light to build a brand new facility. And Seattle has said, yeah, we'll build a new facility when we get the promise of a team. So everybody's waiting for the one shoe to drop first, and nothing's happening. So the league has said they're not going to expand anytime soon. It doesn't look like there are any franchises that are going to be up and leaving. You know, you saw what happened in Sacramento and Milwaukee. So I don't hold out a lot of hope for NBA coming to Seattle anytime soon. Perhaps the NHL's got a better shot at it. But again, there's going to be the need for a new arena and the promise of a new arena. Therein lies the problem with a very, highly political system here in Seattle. So it doesn't feel that positive, to be honest. And I wish I had better news. But it just does not feel like anything is going to break anytime soon.
What is your sense on why some billionaire out there doesn't take the bull by the horns and run with it and get an arena rolling and have these leagues, the NHL, the NBA, come to town?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is the leagues themselves. They don't want to set the precedent of owners paying for the buildings. They want the cities to invest. They want the cities to be involved with the payment of some of these things. So, you know, I don't think they want the precedent, and the owners most certainly are not going to want to set that precedent of being on the hook for $1 billion, $1.5 billion, whatever it's going to cost to build those stadiums. They're going to want some public funding in part of that. And even Chris Hansen's plan required a certain level of public funding. So, you know, that's just a precedent that I don't think either one of the leagues want to set. So I think that limits the ability of somebody to come in and saying, all right, I've got $2 billion, and I'm going to buy a team, and I'm going to build a building here, and we're just going to make it all happen, and I'm going to cover it all. It's not a very realistic thing.
All right, Bob, you are a trio of hosts on Bob, Tom, and Graz, noon to 3, 710 ESPN, Seattle, 710sports.com, in the Seattle market. Now, what can you tell us? What do you have coming up on tomorrow's show for Tuesday, noon to 3 in Seattle?
Well, we'll still be, you know, working our way through the rubble of the Seahawks season. Today was more of a counseling session for three, you know, everybody venting, everybody sort of expressing their thoughts on what they saw, how the season ended. And now we'll be looking forward a little bit as to, you know, a lot of the free agents that I named, who's imperative, who do you have to keep at all costs, who do you feel like this team can part with. So we'll kind of go through who's hanging out there in terms of their contracts and who this team truly needs to focus on. And then we'll listen, NFL is still huge. I know the Seahawks fans are upset. I'm a Seahawks fan. I'm very upset about that game. But I will be watching the championship games this week, and I will be watching to see who goes to the Super Bowl. The NFL was big everywhere. So people are still involved in the NFL. They'll still be watching, as angry as they may be about their teams not being in it. So we're gonna hit on that, start previewing what's coming up this weekend.
That is Bob Stelton of 710 ESPN Seattle. Bob, Tom, and Groz, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, 710sports.com. Bob, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks,
anytime,
Bob.
Anytime, guys. You got it.
There goes Bob Stelton. Follow him on Twitter, at Bob Stelton.
You know, yeah, Bob has a plethora of information, man. And, of course, his perspective as far as what went on, you know, with the Seahawks Panthers game was, man, I mean, that was just a huge freight train that hit the Seahawks. And, you know, who saw that one coming? You know, to get out to a great start that the Panthers did, it says a lot about the Panthers, but it also says a lot about the Seahawks and making a football game out of it and the no quit. So, yeah, I'm sure Bob spent a lot of time today taking phone calls from those weary fans, but I'm sure that they'll be okay in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, as a card-carrying member of the 12th man and a 12th man flag holder, I find as I, what should I say, mature, I don't get as upset and mad as I used to when I was younger. And I think, in a way, that 31-0 hole the Seahawks dug for themselves helped to, okay, it's going to be very, very tough to win this game, even though they did give a valiant effort. And had they played the second half for four quarters, probably was a different story. But the fact of the matter is, it's not the case. Still a tough pill to swallow when a lot of the Pacific Northwest and Seahawks fans all over believe that their team is better than Carolina on paper, but the scoreboard didn't show that yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I think that Seattle fans have a belief that is, let's just face it, when it's your team, you don't see things as clear. And I'll just put it that way. As much as I hear a lot from Seahawks faithful that if we put the same effort forth the first half as we did the second half, then things would have been different. My look on it is this: maybe, just maybe, the Carolina Panthers had something to do with that. I mean, I don't think that the Seattle Seahawks purposely went out there and said, "Hey, I'm going to throw a pick six," or "Hey, we're just going to let them drive down the field on us." That was the Carolina Panthers. And, you know, I think that we walk a fine line when we say, hey, if we would have just did this, then things would have been okay. Carolina Panthers came to play. And what I had mentioned last week and what I tried to explain to the 12s is that Carolina has the best record in the NFL. Carolina knew that the Seattle Seahawks were coming. Even though the Michael Bennett said that, hey, the pressure is on Carolina, no, it wasn't. The pressure was on Carolina to actually take care of home, and they took care of home. And the way they came out and played showed that they were going to take care of home. It's the shame on the Seattle Seahawks part, what I believe is that it isn't arrogance when you think that you're just going to walk in there and be the Seattle Seahawks and beat somebody. That's on the Seahawks. So what Carolina did is they did what they had to do. They took care of business. They punched Seattle in the mouth, and they set that precedence early to where, you know, hey, I think Seattle knows now that whenever they go up against the Carolina Panthers, it's not a laydown. Because as Bob was saying, and as a lot of prognosticators said, hey, nobody wants to play the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks are the toughest team to play, right? Everybody's scared of Seattle, right? Wrong. Wrong. And that's what happened yesterday when the Carolina Panthers said, hey, we are a real football team. We do have talent. We have just as much talent as the Seattle Seahawks. And they showed it, and Seattle didn't come to play. And that's what happened. You know, but I believe that going forward, that maybe Seattle will put a little bit more of a better effort, because people aren't going to bow down. And there are problems in the locker room, and there are problems with the team that they have to fix. And we saw that just like Pete Carroll mentioned, with the whole microcosm of the yesterday's game was a microcosm of the season. He was exactly right. So when you have a Marshawn Lynch that decides when and ever when he wants to play, and he didn't want to play in minus 20 degree weather, but he wants to come out in 40 degree weather, and he still thinks that he's the man, when Tom Cable said, hey, things are a little bit different because this is Russell Wilson's team now, but yet you have a coaching staff that still puts Marshawn in as if he's going to save the day, there's problems. And those problems were very glaring yesterday. And I'm sorry that the Seattle Seahawks fans had to witness what was going on, because I do believe that there are some things that have to be fixed internally. And I believe that going forward, that Seattle Seahawks understand now that they were given that bloody lip, that they're not the big bad bullies of the NFC West or the NFL that they once were. And so, you know, again, not taking anything away from Seattle, but giving the credit where credit is due with the Carolina Panthers. And so we're going to take a quick break. I believe we lost Sean Wally. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we are going to close out this episode of On the Double with the Double S Express. So keep it locked in. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
Everybody get up.
Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions, the trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today at 509-554-4785 and tell them the Double S Express sent you for a complimentary half-hour session. Visit poweralleyperformance.com.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds. And more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product, and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra-strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you're filled with the first fame.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd down here in Northern California. Sean Wally up in the, I was getting ready to say the Pacific Northwest, but all the way back east in Indianapolis. Man, Sean, it's been a great show, man. Bob Stelton on a 7:10 Cairo and, gave some great insight on what went on yesterday with the Seattle Seahawks Carolina Panthers game. And man, it's been a good show.
Lots of great info and insight, and of course, the announcement of the breaking news that Sean Boyd is now a part of the Harlem Globetrotter family.
Man, and I still can't get over the excitement. I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep tonight, but man, I am. I'm so fortunate and happy to be a part of the Globetrotters, and so I see nothing but fun moving forward, man. And so, you know, what's on tap for you? You mentioned you're in Indianapolis, and then you're going to make your way up towards the, man, it sounds like the Great Lakes.
Well, tomorrow we are in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Head to some place called Winona Lake, Indiana. And then on the 21st, you can find our Globetrotter crew in Kalamazoo, Michigan. The 22nd, Ypsilanti, Michigan. And let's see here. Then we go back into Indiana, ironically, on the 23rd for South Bend before we get back into Michigan and hit Grand Rapids and Flint the 24th. 25th. Here's a fun one. The 26th, Canton, Ohio, a town I know you've stopped at a time in your broadcasting career. So we'll hit a couple towns in Ohio. And then end of the month, we are in upstate New York, and the fun begins, of course, the end of the month as we bring in February in Rochester, New York.
Well, of course, the fun will begin for you in New York. You're going to be reconnecting with some friends and family, of course, and so, you know, that's a good time for you. But, man, going through Ohio, yes, you had mentioned going through Canton, man. I had a lot of fun going through there, and that was back in our days of being with the Tacoma Thunder, and you know, that was fun, the fun part of the country to get to, the Midwest, and you know, Ohio was, you know, there was a lot to see. Of course, going through Canton and getting to Cayuga Falls, I don't know if you'll get a chance to head up that area. That's getting close to the Cleveland Akron area, but you know, we covered a lot of ground when we were in Ohio, so I'm sure you'll have a lot of fun as well.
And for you, Sean Boyd, if you were in the Central and Northern California area, you can find the Harlem Globetrotters starting tomorrow night in Modesto, California. The 20th, you're in Santa Rosa. The 21st, in Fresno. The 22nd, San Jose, California. And ironically, the 23rd, they go back to Oakland, California, a place they've already played, I believe, last Saturday.
Yeah, you know, doing that Bay Area swing is going to be a lot of fun. And so, you know, now, you know, being a part of the organization, having a lot of friends and family myself that will be going to the games as well. So, you know, this is a great, great opportunity. But even more so, Sean Wally, I'm bookending the Harlem Globetrotters with, man, we cannot forget that I'll be in Santa Clara next week, and that will be preparing for the big, big Super Bowl 50 game in Santa Clara at the Buttonfly, also known as Levi Stadium. So, man, I got my work cut out for me here in the next month and a half here.
Man, keeping busy, doing what you love, working in broadcasting, and working on some public address announcing for the Harlem Globetrotters. Good times.
Yeah, definitely some good times, man. And, of course, you know, it's been a great show, man. And, of course, you know, barring, you know, some of the cuts in and out, you know, I know that it's a new year, but we're still working out some of those kinks, and we have one of the best in the biz as far as our engineer, Don Newsom, keeping us on our toes and moving and shaking to bring you the best in sports radio. And so, man, Sean Wally, it has been a great, great show. And, of course, again, a special tribute and thank you to Dr. Martin Luther King on this holiday, Dr. Martin Luther King Day, and hope that you all, our listeners, have had a wonderful day and reflecting and trying to make yourselves better in some way, shape, or form. Sean Wally, it's been a great one, man. And we're going to sign off here, and we're going to take a quick run at this thing we call the Harlem Globetrotter Shuffle. So I'm looking forward to it, man. As we always say here on the Double, you're not in the game unless you take a shot. And when you take that shot, we hope it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. This has been a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally on the East Coast in Indianapolis, yours truly here in Northern California in the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California, Don Newsom in Paradise, you have been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up.